Good to be back with you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to, as we have been doing the last several Sunday evenings in this series, Seven Things About, we've got a few more topics that I've been sort of studying about would like to share here in the upcoming weeks, but we're going to go ahead and look at another one this evening. And as I've been doing, there's lots of references. And so I'll give you those references again this evening to the different places that we're going to go. And if you don't get all those references, but you want them, then let me know. I have them here, and I'll be sure to get them to you. But we're going to talk specifically this evening. I wanted to look at what God's Word has to say about God's will. And specifically, knowing God's will. And I think all of us have at one time or another, as believers, have questioned, wondered, prayed about what God's will is for us in general and specifically. And so that's where we're going to go tonight. We're going to talk about seven things about God's will for you and for me, and hope it to be a blessing to you. Let me pray, and then we'll take a look. Father, thank you again for the day. What a beautiful day you've given to us again, Lord, and we do continue to ask that you would prepare our hearts this evening for the week ahead, and Lord, if you should tarry, we just pray that we would be able to meet again next week and just continue to worship together and encourage one another. But Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you that you know what waits for us in the days ahead, whether good or bad. Father, we just trust your leading in our lives, and Lord, that gives us so much confidence to know that you're with us. And that you know the end from the beginning, that nothing is a surprise to you, Lord. And so we can trust as we follow you, you know exactly where you're leading us. Lord, be with those folks that are unable to be with us today, some that are away and some that aren't well. And we think of them, Father, and we pray for them tonight. And we just ask you would minister to them and then, Lord, to us. As we meet together this one last time, thank you for the privilege. We want to worship you together. And this is what we're doing, Father, as we look at your word. Just calm our and quiet our hearts and calm our minds and help us to focus on the scriptures this evening and just continue to teach us, Lord, specifically in regards to your will for us in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a day and age where we have Google. We've had Google now for a while. And I can literally remember when Facebook started to become popular and it was still back in dial-up. And things are moving so fast. That wasn't all that long ago, but I remember that whole process of, you know, bing, bong, bing, bong, you know, the computer connecting to the phone and Facebook. And then if you wanted to Google something, you know, it was amazing. Within just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, you could ask Google a question and it would give you an answer. And so now more than ever before, we are accessing the internet for information. We're asking it questions, chat. GPT, is that what you call it? And AI and all those sorts of things. You know, it'll do your homework for you. Did you know that, Sarah? Don't tell your mother I told you, but it's like... Well, it's amazing what we can... And it really is, you know, and it's just interesting the direction that we're going here with technology. And, you know, we have all the answers. We have all the information, none of the wisdom. that's what the Bible tells us. We know we got lots of education, lots of information, but no wisdom. We need true knowledge to apply the things that God wants us to know and to learn. So we have access to lots of things out there that will help us answer questions. But I think even the question as Christians, what does God want me to do, comes up still quite a bit. And ChatGPT can't answer all those questions, right? And we don't want it to. We want the Lord to be the fountain that we draw from when it comes to resource, information, comfort, all those things. I'm not saying that technology is all bad. There's some things out there that are wonderful. I'm thankful for technology in a lot of ways. But when it comes to some of these deep-seated or deep-rooted questions and concerns, let's, as believers, bear in mind that we know God is the best source for help and for wisdom and information. Again, I'm not knocking those other things, and God may even use those other things. But ultimately, it's God that gets the glory. It's Him that gets the credit. But the point is when it comes to God's will, we sometimes are in the dark, or we feel like we're in the dark. And we will pray specifically or in general, God, what is your will for me? And it's funny how we get those two things mixed up. We'll desire to know first what God's will is for us specifically. And we say specifically Should I take this job or this job? Specifically, Lord, what's your will? Should I go to this school or this school? Specifically, Lord, should I wear this colored socks today or these colored socks today? You know, we want God to be specific about certain things. And then we'll say, in general, Lord, just lead me throughout my life as a Christian. And in general, whatever you want to do with me, just do that. But often it's the opposite. That in general, God's will for us is much easier to understand than the specifics. God has some specific things about His will for us that we can know. But in general, He will lead and guide us as well. And it's the specific will of God that we can know, even biblically, and I want to show us some things tonight about specifically what is God's will. How does God want me to behave, or how does He want me to live or think? And specifically, we have some answers to that question. But in general, that's where we seem to spend most of our time. In general, we say, God, what should I do with my life? You know, what do you want me to do when I grow up? And where should I live? And who should I marry? And all those sorts of things. You know what I've noticed? Sometimes God will give you more than one option. And it's not because He's trying to confuse us. It's because He's good. When I go to a restaurant, you know what I like at a restaurant? A menu with options. So I can choose many different things. And they're all good. There's not necessarily a wrong choice, unless it's seafood, shellfish, then that's a bad choice for me because it'll kill me. But other than that, I have options. You know, sometimes God provides us with options. God, what do you want me to do? And there's this wonderful Bible school over here, and there's this wonderful Bible school over there, and I don't know what your will is. God's like, well, I give you two choices. I made it easy for you. Pick one. And sometimes it's just a matter of trusting the Lord, not sometimes, but always. And let me just share a couple of verses off the top of my head here quickly. In regards to our desire to know God's will for our lives in those areas that we think are more specific than they really are. So, God, what do you want me to do with my career or with my, you know, with where I live or how I make a living, those sorts of things. The Bible gives us verses like in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of scorners. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate both day and night. That is God's will for you and me. And when we are in the Word of God, and we're not trusting the world's wisdom, but we're trusting God and His Word, He will guide us in His will. We sometimes want a blueprint or a layout of every step that God wants us to take so we know exactly where we're going to end up. But God's like, yeah, I want you to have a great adventurous life. I want to lead you one step at a time. And life can be exciting that way. And you'll learn to trust me one step at a time, which means you'll trust me more. And so when it comes to knowing God's will about some of these things, well, we can just remember what the Bible says. First of all, pour yourself over the Word of God. That will help us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? You know it. He will. He shall direct our paths. He will guide us. So we can trust that, and that's the wonderful resource of the Word of God. And that's just the way it is. The Bible says what it says, and we can trust that God is telling us the truth. And it's so wonderful, so liberating to know that. So if I don't know what, God, what is your will for me? Should I choose this job or this job? Or should I, you know, do this or do that? Well, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge Him. And He will what? He'll direct your paths. Last week in Psalm 37, we read a verse. I'm not exactly sure where it is or what it says. Let me try to find it. It's right in front of me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. The steps of a good man. Not a perfect man, but a good man. A man that is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or a woman is a good man, a good woman, according to His authority and His goodness or righteousness. But when we want to honor God with our lives, when we want to please Him, He will order our steps. He will literally show us the way that He wants us to go. And here's the other thing. I want to go a little deeper. Not only will God show us, but this is what I love about trusting God. And what He's teaching me is, when I pray, God, what is Your will for me? And here's the thing. When we faithfully are living for God as best we can, and we pray for His will, where we end up is where His will is. And that's the way that we need to, I believe, think about our walk with the Lord and His will for us. If I'm praying today, God, I want Your will to be done for me in my life over the next few days and weeks and months. And then faithfully and obediently and as best I can, though I struggle and fall, But for the most part, I'm trying to trust the Lord and be obedient and follow His instructions. Then in a few days, I can expect and believe that I am where God wants me to be. Because He says He'll order my steps. He says, don't lean on your understanding, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. So that where I am today is where I prayed about 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, or 6 years ago. And if I'm out of the will of God, if I'm living sinfully in the world and disobeying God and disregarding His word, I'm already out of His will. And when I say, God, show me your will, God's like, sin in your heart. I can't hear you. You got to deal with that problem. I want that dealt with first. And then, once we get that dealt with, it'll become clear to you what my will is for you. So in general, when we pray about God's will, about specific things, I love that we can just trust the Lord and we will end up where He wants us to be. That's the liberty that we have as believers. We can believe that and know it's true. That God doesn't have to send us an email from heaven that specifically lists what His will for us is this week, every step. But we can say, Lord, Sunday night, I don't know what your will is for me this week, who you want me to talk to, how you want me to behave, you know, for the most part, or where you want me to go, but just lead and guide me. I want to do your will. I want to be in your will. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do my best to obey you and just use me. And then when we get to the end of that week, we can look back and say, well, that was what your will was. Your will was that I did this, and your will was that I spoke with this individual. Your will was that I went to this place. And looking back, we can say that was your will for me. And someone might say, well, how do you know? Well, because I asked Him to lead and guide me. And the Bible says, He will. He will order our steps. That He shall lead us. He will bring it to pass. All of those wonderful truths. So in general, as Christians, we find out what God's will is for us in real time. But we can trust the entire time that He is leading us in it. The specific part of God's will, though, is where I want to look at for the rest of our time, because there are some specific places in Scripture that help us know specifically what God's will is. 2 Peter chapter 3 to begin with. 2 Peter chapter 3. Someone was to say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I need to know specifically what God's will is. What does He want me to do? Well, I can give you some specifics. And the first one, as I said, 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Starting actually, let's look at verse 8, why not? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is not bound by time, we are, He's not. Then it says, the Lord is not slack or slow concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. The promise to return, to receive us unto Himself, to bring His kingdom, all of those things. He's not slow concerning His promise, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, did you catch what God's will is there for us? God is not willing, it's not God's will that any should perish. The first thing in the list of seven, the first thing about God's will for us is God wants us to be saved. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be safe. You know, anytime, if I'm a Coast Guard, and I'm out there, and I'm, you know, navigating the waters and keeping an eye on things, and I see a vessel going down and someone's floating in the water, when I you know, cruise over to that vessel and see that person in the water, the first thing I do is I don't start asking them, you know, what's your name? When were you born? What's your address? I love it when people ask me all those questions, you know, what's your email? We get to that stuff later. First thing is, you need to be rescued. Throw the life preserver in. Pull that guy out of the water. He's drowning. We don't know how much time he has left. This is important. Let's get you out of the water. And this is God's patience towards us. He's not willing that any should perish. So you want to know what you want to do for a living. You want to know who you want to marry. You want to know, I want you to be safe. First, let's deal with the first and the biggest issue of your life. You need to be safe. You need to be saved. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here tonight. But it's still the first thing I think that we need to understand or recognize about God's will is that we are saved, that we are safe, that we are His. And we see that there. Let's look at another verse just quickly in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's what happens when my brain and my mouth get out of sync, as you know. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's another verse, John 6, 28 and 29, when the Jews said to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the work that God wants us to do? If you remember that, verse 29, Jesus says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. You want to know what God's work is for you, what he wants you to do, what his will is for you over everything else? Believe on me. Be safe first. Be saved first. We see it again here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 4. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Now, we know not all men are saved because God allows us to either reject or believe the gospel. But he wants all men to be saved. He's not willing. That's not his will that men be lost. Who will have, that's his will, all men to be saved. So, first, number one on the list, what's God's will for us? It's for us to be safe, saved, born again. And that's number one. Specifically, we can know that's God's will for every human being. If somebody were to ask me and you, what's God's will for my life? I would answer, Lord willing, in response, number one, it's his will for you to be safe. Are you? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is the work of God. This is the will of God, number one. Number two, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Years ago, my wife and I had a little study book called Changed in His Image. Some of you might recognize that. And it was a sort of a devotional book for couples, and you did Bible study. And we had to memorize Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I should get my wife to sing it here, demonstrate what we did. So we were having a hard time memorizing this verse, so we turned it into a song. Did you want to sing? No, we better not do that. But anyway, so, but this is number two on the list in regards to God's will for us. Specifically, his will for us is to think like Christ. And I love that. Somebody mentioned that to me back several weeks ago now, or a couple months ago, about, you know, what is the will of God for us? How do we have a mind like Jesus? How do we learn to think like Christ? And that's one of the series I'd like to add to this series here some Sunday evening, is to think like Christ. But here's what it says, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So number two on the list of God's will for us is very specific, as the first one was. He's not willing that you perish. God's will is that you believe on him who he has sent, Jesus Christ, that you're safe. Number two, God wants us to understand that literally, not just spiritually, but physically and emotionally, behaviorally, God wants all of us. Give everything to me. Really, Lord? I got some things that aren't that great. I'll give you the best that I have. Why don't you just take the best? And I'll keep the other things, the raggedy things, kind of back here behind the scenes, so you don't got to deal with that stuff. God's like, I want everything. I want you to submit it all to me. And so we read this verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that our bodies are not our own. They're the temples of God. They were bought with a price. And we see that reiterated here again, but God is politely asking us to give him what is rightfully his. You know, he's genuinely has the right to utilize us because the blood of his son purchased us, redeemed us, and we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And so when we read this verse, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, it says, which is your reasonable service, or the idea of that is it's the least you can do. It really is the least that we can do to God. It's reasonable to anticipate that God should be able to utilize what he has purchased for his glory and for his purposes. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. And this is the important part, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We give our physical bodies to God, but also mentally, emotionally. We give everything, even the way that we think. God says, I want even that. It's my will that you don't think like the world. Let me read the rest of the verse. But we are transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. It is God's will that we think like Christ. And the more that we think like Christ, the more that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, the more that we will come to know the will of God. Even as we just read, it says that ye may prove, renewing of our mind, being transformed like Christ, not conformed to the world. We think differently. I'm glad for that, by the way. There's a meme going around on the internet. And I shared it back a while ago because I really appreciated it. It was the idea was if, and this is, you know, this is not verbatim, but the idea was, hey, if you don't raise your children like the world, they won't be like the rest of society. And the response was, yeah, that's exactly the point. That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so we want to be different. We want to be transformed in the renewing of our mind, the way that we think. And when we are, when we allow God to change our thinking, that our perspective is Bible-based, the Bible is the authority, we trust in God, not in the world, not in man, not in ourselves, then what happens is we become accustomed, the will of God becomes clear to us, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It helps us. It makes it easier for us to identify what God's will is for us. The more that we think like Christ, the more that we understand the will of God for us. So number one, God's will is for us to be saved. Number two, God's will is for us to think like Christ. Thirdly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Told you we were going to jump around here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul collecting for the saints. Church willingly giving here in Corinth, and specifically in regards to the will of God, it says this. Let's actually read starting in verse 2. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. That's quite a statement, by the way. I don't know if we can grasp that. But for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, beyond their limits, beyond their capacity to give, they gave. Beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. When we go back to the second point, submitting ourselves to the Lord, not only will we become more accustomed to his will, but we'll fulfill his will. And so it says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In other words, it is God's will for us to give ourselves into the service of others. And this is exactly what they're saying. You folks were so gracious to us, and you gave to us, and you ministered to us according to the will of God. You gave yourselves to us. And so the point is very clear, that it is God's will for us to serve one another. How do you like that? That's his will for us. And I'm thankful that we recognize that, by the way. Because the world doesn't... success is other people serving me, right? When I got a bunch of, you know, maids and servants doing what I want and secretaries and I'm calling people and I'm just sending people everywhere I want them to go, and they're serving me, then I must be successful. Well, Jesus Christ, in my own words, but he essentially said, if you want to make it to the top of the ladder of Christian success, you start at the bottom and you stay there. You serve. And he demonstrated that even as they had their last supper together, when he got down on his knees and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he said, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done for you. I'm serving you. You see how I'm humbling myself, the Son of God, and I'm washing your feet. Do that for one another. That is a Christian characteristic that the world cannot fathom or understand or appreciate. Why would you do that? Why would you spend all that time going to church? It's open all the time. You're there all the time. Why would you give to the church? That preacher, he just wants a new Rolls Royce. You know, why would you trust God? And, you know, prayer is good, but what there was a, I forget his name, and it doesn't matter. But anyway, a, American politician recently said in regards to a shooting, yet another one we probably all watched last week that took place. He made a disparaging remark about prayer. Like, this is not time for prayer. They were praying when they died. What good is prayer? That was kind of his attitude. And not only is that frightful as it borders on the blasphemous, but you just miss the point. You miss the point. And so we have to be careful to understand that it's God's will for us to serve one another, whether by way of praying for one another or encouraging one another. But the point is that that's God's will for us, as we just read. According to the will of God, they gave themselves. You gave yourselves to us. You served us. And so that's God's will. Say, what's God's will for me today? Lord, I feel good today. I get out of bed. I feel pretty good. What's your will for me today? Well, serve other people. Really? That's it? That's it? That's what he wants me to do. Okay, I don't have to build a new mission organization in Africa. Well, that's easier then. Good, I'll do that. I don't have to raise $1,000 and feed the homeless or build a new church or see 1,000 people saved by the end of the month. You just want me to serve other people? That's your will for me? That's it? Okay. And I'll help you do it too, God would say. And I'll bless you for doing it. And we grow as we serve. That's God's will for us. Number one, to be safe or to be saved. Number two, it's God's will for us to think like Christ. And number three, it's his will for us to serve others. And then number four, Ephesians chapter 6. It might seem similar, but there's a bit of a difference in the fourth point. God's will specifically for us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Starting in verse 5, though. Still talking about service and being servants. That's what we are. It's a wonderful title, by the way. To be the servant of the Most High God. Wow. Verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And this is the key to serving the unservable. You know, sometimes it's not easy to serve other people, especially when they don't appreciate it, they're not grateful for it, or they even complain about it. You go out of your way and you do something for somebody, and you know, you're feeling kind of good about yourself, and then they complain about what you did, and you're like, well, I'm going to strangle that guy next time I see him, or I didn't like that. But, you know, we don't do it for them. So then it completely eviscerates the bitterness and the frustrations that sometimes we harbor because we did something for somebody, and they didn't appreciate it. Well, God does. He says he does. God says, I appreciate that. That's why I asked you to do it. I didn't ask you to do it if they wanted you. I didn't ask you to do it in looking for a right response or being praised or applauded. I just want you to serve unto Christ, as unto Christ. You serve others as if you're serving me. That changes our perspective. That makes service not only a privilege and something that we should look for on a daily basis. If I serve somebody today, Christ says he counts it as unto him. It's as unto Christ, giving someone a drink of water, going and visit the homeless or those in prison or whatever we do to serve somebody else or a brother or sister in Christ. Jesus Christ said, do it as you're doing it to me. And I believe he takes it as such. And verse 6, as we continue to read, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. That's an interesting King James phrase. Eye service as men pleasers means that you're doing what you're doing just so that others will see your service and you please them so that they will pat you on the back and say, wow, you're a great servant, good for you. And there's nothing wrong with receiving some praise, but that's not why we do what we do, because they may not praise us, as I just said. They may even criticize or complain about what we did. That can discourage us. We do what we do for Christ. We do what we do for God. Not as eye service, as men pleasers, but as what? The servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. I used to, and still do, tell my children, you do what you do for the Lord. You may not want to do it. I get that. But you want to do it more if you do it for the Lord. Isn't that true? Anything that we don't want to do, we are more willing to do, or should be, if all of a sudden we're told it's not for this person, it's for the Lord. The Lord wants you to do this for him. You know, that's the truth. And that's what we've just read. As unto Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, servants of Christ. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord. And over again, we see that reiterated. You're serving others, and in doing so, you're really serving Jesus Christ. It's the same principle, except the opposite. When the Bible says, you know, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me, Jesus said. It's not you that they hate. I mean, ultimately, it's Christ. And we receive sort of the ricochet of the hate they have for God as well. And in the same way, it's not them that you're really serving. It's me. It's me. It's Jesus Christ would say, do it as if you're doing it for me. And boy, does that ever change our attitude. It makes us more willing. It makes us appreciate those opportunities. It's one thing to do something for the neighbor. It's another thing to do something for the Son of God. The neighbor calls me up and needs a cup of sugar, and I got to walk over there in the cold or the rain and give him a cup of sugar. I'm so, carry my cross, I guess. Here you go. It's a hard day. But if the Lord called me up on the other side and said, yes, Lord, how much do you want? I'll bring the whole bag. I'll bring it right. You want me to cook for you? What do you need? I mean, so we serve the Lord when we serve. And this is true, young or old, by the way. You can serve the Lord when you're doing your homework, cleaning your room, making a cake, making a phone call. We do it for the Lord, and it's pleasing to Him. You know, God didn't put it up, the cookies up here in the top shelf, you know, where we can't reach, and, I can't do anything for God. It's too hard. God put the cookies right down here in the lower shelf. Anybody, come on out. Help yourself. You want to serve me? You want to be rewarded? You want to honor me? You want to put a smile on my face, joy in my heart? You serve others, and I'll take it as unto me. Wow. This is God's will for us. Specifically, we may not know what job exactly the Lord wants us to take. You know, what color socks God wants me to wear. But I know that He wants me to serve others. And when I do, to take it as service unto Him. Specifically, we can know some of these things about God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 here. We got about 8 or 10 minutes left. We know this verse already. We probably don't even have to turn there, but we will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Some of the smallest verses. Let me start in verse 16 just to get those other two in. We know them all together. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And specifically, what is God's will for me? Lord, what's your will for me? He would say in verse 18, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what my will is for you specifically? Yes, Lord. All right, I'll tell you. Here's one place. In Thessalonians, I wrote it down for you so you wouldn't forget. Be thankful for everything. Just have a thankful heart. You know, when we read through the Old Testament, we see the nation of Israel and they're complaining about the manna, and they're complaining about the water, and they're complaining about the, we don't get the leeks and the onions, you know. And we all kind of read that and we're a little bit critical. We think, how could they be so doubtful, you know? How could they whine and complain like that? And the Lord's tapping his toes behind us going, yeah, I mean, I wonder. Sometimes I'm like that. And there are so many things to complain about, isn't there? There's so many things. I mean, the list is endless. I can just go on for hours. I could just relent, at nausea. I would literally make you sick whining and complaining about things because there's so many things. But I believe there's way more to be thankful for. And even more when we realize God says, be thankful for everything. Not just the easy things or the good things, but all the things. How can you ask me that, God? How can God ask us to be thankful for everything? Really? Is that reasonable? If I'm following God, then yes, it is. If I'm following God, then it is reasonable for me to be thankful for every step that He allows me and helps me and guides me to take, because He has already told me that every step I take is for a purpose. He has ordered my steps, not just willy-nilly, I don't know, we'll send you some way, I don't know where I'm going to lead you. No, ordered. You follow me every step of the way. And that means when you're in a difficult spot, like the valley, you'll know, I'm with you. There's the shepherd right up there. His staff is comforting me. He's leading me through that valley. I don't have to live here. I don't have to linger here long. I'm going through. I'm going to go to the other side, and there will be the table, and He'll anoint my head with oil and mercy, and will follow me all the days of my life in peace, and God is gracious and good. And so we can trust the Lord. Even in the difficult times, we do, and we grow in the difficult times. Right? A challenge comes along and we trust the Lord and we pray and He answers our prayers, and then we tell everybody, God is so good. And God's like, see? Doesn't that feel good? That confidence that you gained, that faith that you grew in, you got another glimpse of me. You thought I was far from you. I wasn't. I'm right there. And that difficult challenge that you went through that drove you to your knees in prayer and to the Word to remember what I promised you has helped you grow in faith. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes, Lord. Yeah, I see. I see. It's really wonderful. And don't we want to wear ourselves out a little for the Lord? You know, break a nail and, oh, no, Lord, life is hard. No, wear yourself out. Blood, sweat, and tears, right? That's what the athletes do. That's what the guys drinking Red Bull, jumping out of choppers over, you know, cliffs do. They're living life to the fullest. We can do that for the Lord. And I love seeing people. They're just wearing themselves out physically, emotionally, spiritually, just spending and thankfully. God, thank you that I can still serve you to the capacity that I can. And they just allow God to squeeze every drop of goodness and service out of their life like an orange till there's nothing left. And then, poof, home to their reward. Well done. Being thankful is a part of that. What is God's will for you and for me? Well, I know one area. It's in our area of being thankful. God wants us to be thankful. That's His will, literally His will for us is to be thankful. And so we ought to be thankful for everything. Two more, then we're done. Number six on the list, God's will for us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll go to verse 15. There's two ways I'm going to put this, and I'll share the sixth point right now. It's God's will for us to make Him look good. It's God's will for us to make Him look good. It's kind of one of our jobs, is to make God look good. And that's not hard, because He is good. We don't have to dress Him up or pretend He's something He isn't. We just have to point to who He is. He's good. And another way to put that, make God look good, it's God's will for us to have a godly reputation. And that's one of the ways that we make God look good. And the verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "For so is the will of God," and I know we're kind of jumping into the text here, "for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Let me read it again. In regards to the will of God, it literally specifically tells us, "For so is the will of God," or "this is the will of God, that with well-doing," when you do well, when you're doing good things, right things for other people or in front of other people, when you're doing well or with well-doing, "you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Right? Oh, those Christians, they're so selfish. Christians lined up again today to help feed the homeless at the food bank. You know, we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men who don't know the work that God is doing in our midst, don't understand that, no, it's true. We love the Lord. We're not perfect, but we're doing our best. And it's the will of God. Let me read it one more time here. Verse 15, I already forgot what verse we were on. "For so is the will of God that you with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Well-doing, serving God, making God look good. Having a godly reputation. Doing what we say, practicing what we preach. Being doers of the word, not hearers only. And Lord willing, with that godly reputation, making God look good, silencing those that would speak ignorantly of us in regards to our love and our service to the Lord. So number six, God's will for us is to have a godly reputation, to do good things for others, to make God look good. That's what Christians should do. That's one of God's will for us. Finally, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, this one is a little veiled, I will admit. In discovering the will of God here in this passage, it's a little bit veiled. But I'll explain it. It'll tell us here in the verse that God's will abides forever. And it's God's will for us, Once we put our faith in Christ, that we abide forever. And when we put our faith in Christ, we do abide forever. But the veiled part of God's will for us, let me just tell you right off the bat, is this. Is that we love Him the most. It's God's will for us that we love Him the most. That we put Him first. That we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, or everything you got. I love that when you're a little kid, coaches say, come on, give it everything you got, kid, you know, swing that bat, or throw that, but give it everything you got. What does that mean? It means with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you leave it all on the field, you give it everything you got, and that's how God wants us to love Him. Because sometimes we love other things that way, and we don't love God near as much. That's a sad reality, and as Christians, we got to be careful of that. And I need to be personally mindful that I'm not loving things more than God, that I'm not loving myself or hobbies or habits or sin or anything, even good things, more than God. And so the seventh point, let me read the verse, where are we at here? 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, so actually verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And who is the one that does the will of God? The one that loves Him more than this world. That's why we're instructed. Don't love the world. Love not the world. But instead, we love God more. And when we do the will of God as believers, not only does His will last forever, but as believers, we know that we will last forever. We'll have eternal life. And we demonstrate our love for the Lord God throughout that eternity. Not only now in this life, but in the eternity to come. Anyway, just seven things specifically about the will of God. And I love that we can trust Him. And that when we are following Him faithfully and prayerfully, and we're asking Him specifically, God, what is Your will in my life? That when we ask Him to guide us, we acknowledge Him, and then we say amen, and we trust Him. Where I end up is where He wants me to be. I don't have to, because sometimes, let me finish with this. Sometimes if it's difficult, we're not in God's will. This is hard. This is not working out. I'm frustrated. I'm confused. This is painful. This is. I'm struggling with this. This can't be God's. What's Your will for me? God's like, you're in it. You're in the boat. I know it's a storm, but I'm trying to teach you that you can trust me. Have faith. It's okay. Oh. So when I'm in a storm, I might still very much be in the middle of God's will. Yes. And often we get that confused. And it's when we're crying out to God, what is Your will for me? What's Your will for me? It's often because we're frustrated or we're in a storm of some sorts and we're trying to cry out to God as best we can. And God, this doesn't feel like that this is what You want for me. I don't want this for me. How could You want this for me? Well, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And He knows best how to grow us, how to teach us, and how to love us, and how to show us love than we know. And so even in those difficult times, if we have asked God and we're trusting God, keep me in Your will, and difficulties come, we're still in God's will. Challenges don't mean we're not in the will of God. It just means that that's part of the will of God. Amen? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for Your will for us. We thank You for the ways that You have made it clear that we can be in Your will. We sometimes don't know maybe about one area or another area, but there are some specific areas that we can know. I may not know what Your will is for me tomorrow in regards to some things, but I know You want me to be thankful. I know You want me to love You the most, and I know You want me to serve others, and on as we've looked at tonight. Lord, we thank You that we can know specifically what Your will is for us in these different areas of our lives. And thank You that Your word teaches us to trust You for those other areas of our lives. And that where we end up is where You want us to be as long as we're following You. And it may not look like maybe what we imagined. But if it's Your will, it's what we want. Thank You for the day, Lord, and thank You for the fold. God, just bless them and protect them, Lord, as we leave tonight. Give us journey's mercies. Give us a good week, Lord. We pray for Your help and for Your strength. We pray for Your wisdom that You would, Lord, deliver us from unreasonable men, from the enemy, from temptations, Lord, and allow us to honor You, Lord, in whatever comes. We're asking, we're praying, Father, Your will be done in our lives. And we just pray for the strength and the wisdom and the patience and the resolve to honor you in whatever your will is for us. We thank you for the day. We praise your name in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going to close.